Hosanna, a fellowship of Christians.
All right, good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing today? Good, good. Good morning to those of you at home. Appreciate you getting up and spending some time with us, whether it's in your living room or in person. We appreciate it. As always, we welcome you to Hosanna, and we welcome you to sing with us as long as you keep your mask on and just to protect everybody around you. So we really appreciate it if you would just follow that rule for us. But welcome, and join us in worship this morning.
Sometimes on this journey, I get lost in my mistakes. What looks to me like weakness, it gets a canvas for your strength. My story isn't over, my story's just begun. Failure won't define me, cause that's what my Father does. Yeah, failure won't define me, cause that's what my Father does. Ooh, lay your burdens down. Ooh, here in my Father's house. Check your shame at the door, cause it ain't welcome anymore. Ooh, you're in the Father's house.
Verse 2.
Arrival's not the ending,
the journey's where you are.
You never wanted perfect, you just wanted my heart. And the story isn't over, if the story isn't good. Failure's never final when the Father's in the room. Failure's never final when the Father's in the room.
Shame at the door, cause it ain't welcome anymore. Ooh, in the Father's house.
shall remain. I will rejoice, I will declare, God is my victory and He is here. I will bring praise, no weapon formed against me shall remain. I will rejoice, I will declare, God is my victory and He is here.
Oh, can see the light in the darkness as the darkness bows to him. I can hear the roar in the heavens as the space between west and I can feel the ground shake beneath us as the prison walls cave in. Nothing stands between us. Nothing stands between us. Yeah.
There's no other name.
There's no other name but the name that is Jesus. He was and still is and will be through it all. So come with me in the space between all the things I've seen. It is reckoning. I know I will never be alone.
I know I will never be alone.
I know I will never be alone. Be another in the fire, standing next to me. Be another in the waters, holding back the seas. Should I ever need reminding how good you've been to me? I got the joy.
From every battle,
count the joy from every battle, cause I know that's where you'll be. I count the joy from every battle, cause I know that's where you'll be.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
So I'd like to share a poem with you this morning by a woman named Christina Chase. Christina was born with a genetic disease called spinal muscular atrophy type 2. She struggled with faith for some time and spent much of her time searching for answers. And Christina found the truth in Christianity. Christina describes herself as a cripple and admits that that's not politically correct, but that's how she describes herself. She says this: all of us who live and breathe in this terribly beautiful creation, which is other than perfect wholeness, are cripples in some way. We desire, we need, we lack. Each one of our stories might be terribly sad, but that we are being infinitely loved. Therein abides true human dignity. In divine love is the joyful fulfillment of being human. She goes on to say, for infinite and eternal God so loves humankind that he became one of us incarnate, assuming our natural limitations, sufferings, delights, fears, and wonders. Christ lovingly lived the sacred littleness of human life to raise us up to the divine now and forever. Now her poem is called In the Rhododendron Forest. Embrace me in your beauty, Lord, as I am sheltered here with the blossoming bower. Let me know your love. Thick leaves arching overhead on wild wood from tangled roots in forest golden brown. White petals glimpsed through latticed light above or fallen whole upon the ground. Resting here in the quiet, I wait for you, my Lord, and you do not disappoint. I see you in the peace and hear you in the joy. I linger in the loveliness within and all around. When I'm come through this long and winding wonder passage of shade and green, out into the dark, into the brightness of the other side, embrace me in your beauty, Lord. Your heavens delight of endless awe, surpassing earth's imagining, beyond the twigs and moss of time, beyond the loveliness I leave behind, that's yours, O Lord, not mine. So you might recognize this song. We haven't done this one probably for a little while, but it's certainly a classic.
Lord of heaven and earth,
that first verse, Lord of all creation.
Lord of all creation, water, earth, and sky, the heavens are your tabernacle. Glory to the Lord on high. God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy, Lord of heaven and earth. Darkness,
call me by night.
And I will call your name by night. God of wonders, God of wonders beyond our galaxy.
Good morning, Hosanna. How's everyone doing today? Are you wide awake? All right, great, excellent. So I want to thank the worship team for leading us today. Sean's on vacation this week, and trust that he's had a good time at that point. Let me share with you a few announcements. Again, just a reminder that an offering bucket is back in the back. For those of you who would like to drop your offering in at the end of the service. And we have a change for change bucket back also in the back as well. The adult class continues today. Surrender to Love is the title of the adult class taught by Joanne and Tony. And it continues today at 11:15. The class meets online via Zoom. But those of you who are here can join them in the fellowship hall. And if you are interested in joining this at some point in time, you can send an email to Amy Becker, which is amy@hosannalytics.org, and you can get a link to the Zoom meeting. We're going to have a 24-hour prayer vigil for our election. In light of all the cares and concerns that have arisen for our nation due to COVID-19, and as we prepare for the upcoming election, we wanted to offer you an opportunity to pray for our country, for our region, our community, our church, our families, and ourselves, by holding a 24-hour prayer vigil from this Friday, October the 30th, at 7 p.m., through Saturday, October the 31st, at 7 p.m. The goal of the prayer vigil is to have continuous prayer coverage for an entire 24-hour period. We will begin our prayer vigil together online via Zoom from 7 to 8 on Friday night, and come together again on Zoom to close the prayer vigil from 6 to 7 on Saturday evening. So look for an email for further information on how to sign up coming your way. Those of you who have children, Kid Venture Ministry will be having their second dinner theater for all children at Hosanna. We'd love to see your children at our Kid Venture Dinner Theater on Saturday, October the 31st from 4:45 to 7 p.m. We will continue to have social distancing plans in place where each child or group of children provided is okayed by parents, and we'll have their own space to enjoy the movie. We'll be enjoying Toy Story 2 while dining on pizza and ice cream. Ice cream. Got to have ice cream, absolutely. So please let Kelly know if you're going to have children attending. You can call the church office or email her, kelly@hosannalytics.org. Do that by Thursday, please, so that we will know how many will be joining us. And then finally, community Thanksgiving meal. We're not going to have it here. I'm so sad. I really am. That was so much fun, having so many people in our building coming for all the meal and everything else. So due to everything that's going on, it's going to be takeout. So if you or if you know of someone who would like to have Thanksgiving takeout meal, we're still going to be doing it. You do need to sign up ahead of time, though. So we have 2 weeks left to make a reservation. So if you're interested or know someone who's interested, please have them contact our church office. All right? Okay. Joanne is going to come with the final installment of, tell me what it is, folks, Hosanna at the movies.
Yay.
Come on, Joanne.
Woo, woo, woo. And the takeout for Thanksgiving is not here, correct? It's at the Catholic Church because they have bigger facilities over there. So, yay! Whenever another church gets mentioned, we applaud. Well, as Rick said, welcome to our 22nd annual. Been doing this for 22 years. The first movie was Saving Private Ryan. Yes. 22nd annual Hosanna at the Movie series. And welcome to a film that invites us to honor the isolating pain of loss, the longing for the comfort of home, and the fears that threaten to keep us from getting there. At first, it appears that this is a story about a terrifying creature that's escaped its captors and is rampaging through the city of Hong Kong. But as we know, reality is not always what it appears to be. Someone else enters the story, Yi, a teenaged girl who at first glance seems to think her home and her family are a cage from which she needs to escape. So this is now a story about a scary creature and about Yi. But then someone else enters the story. Did you see him? That cool pre-med guy named Jin, who loves himself, his sneakers, and being the center of attention. Did you notice the connection, though? That eye connection between Jin and Yi? Yeah, they grew up together. Their families still live in the same apartment building, and they used to be best friends. But then Yi stopped being cool. So Jin found his playmates and his identity elsewhere. Yep, this is a story about a creature and Jin and Yi. Seems so. Until Yi runs into someone else. Oh, so? Now this appears to be a story about a scary creature and three disconnected kids. Yep. But remember that it's only the beginning of the story, and there's always more to a good story than what's seen on the surface. As the story unfolds, we learn why Yi stopped being cool. Her father died, and something in her died with him. She became a loner, preoccupied with working to earn money. Her mother and grandmother, Nai Nai, miss Yi. And they keep trying to make space for Yi to talk and to play her violin for them again, or to just simply be together. But everything's changed. And Yi won't sit down long enough even to eat. Perhaps because slowing down feels scary. Slowing down might mean feeling the grief that she's desperately trying to escape. Slowing down might mean feeling her family's love and her love for them. And you know, she can't risk her heart warming like that. What would she do if the tears frozen inside started to thaw and flow? Yi hasn't cried since her father died. Ever been there? I have. Carrying loss so deep, so devastating, that even the thought of crying feels threatening. Like shedding one tear might open the floodgates and you'd never be able to stop, and you would just drown in a salty sea of your own tears. See, on the surface, it seems so much safer just not to go there, to just create a place inside to store all the unmourned tears and get on with the everyday routine of just existing. Scared to go inside? Yi creates a place to escape outside, like James Taylor said, up on the roof. But as grace would have it, this night, a scary escaping creature has found a few hours of safety up there too. while he hasn't stopped playing her violin. It's her one connection to her dad, at least until she can save enough money to take the sightseeing trip that they were planning together before he died. But this night, she learns that her self-made fortress can't protect her. Life continues to happen, along with the possibility of even more death, including hers. And yet, it only takes a moment for Yi to sense that there's more going on with the creature than it appears. She senses what the creature is going through because she's there herself. And she knows exactly what to do to help the creature to hide just like she does. Like we all have done since the beginning of the biblical story when humanity chose death over life. See, God told them not to eat the fruit of that one tree in the garden or they would surely die, but they tasted the fruit anyway, and then they had to swallow the consequences that came with it. And though they didn't die physically, something died in them spiritually. And they started to see life through a different lens, through a lens of loss and pain, blame and shame, separation and isolation. So they sewed fig leaf garments to protect themselves and they hid from God. But God came to find them, just as this creature has come to find Yi. Well, Yi is so scared, she stays awake until dawn. And when she offers the creature some of Nai Nai's pork rolls, everyone in this film likes Nai Nai's pork rolls, including the creature. As the creature is eating the pork rolls, Yi sees the wounds in his hand and responds in a remarkable way. Like the Good Samaritan in Jesus' parable, she grabs all that stashed money and she runs to the pharmacy to buy bandages and medicine. For her too. But she's about to find out that this creature did not come to hide with her. He came to show her the way back home again. Isn't it interesting that the creature knows the song of her heart and is able to sing it, hum it with her? Yi's named him Everest after his home, Mount Everest. And it's no coincidence that in his presence, Yi begins to experience some ever rest. Ever rest. And without her realizing it, flowers are beginning to bloom in the dark. And yes, Yi. Ah, yes, Yi. This one who isn't supposed to exist has come to be with you. In the place you won't let anyone else enter. He knows what you're going through. He's been there himself. He's experienced loss, but unlike you, he knows the way home and wants you to come with him. But before Yi can make the choice, the helicopters return and spot them, and the chase is on. Everest grabs Yi in one protective swoop, and off they race across the rooftops. Meanwhile, Jin and Peng have seen it all, and they set off to save their friend. Ah, what a paradox. Yi spent on Everest all the money she'd earned for her trip, and yet Everest is taking her on an adventure she didn't have to plan or pay for. All she had to do was want it more than anything else and give herself completely to it. All she had to do was take a seemingly impossible leap of faith. And when she did, she inspired Peng to do the same, even though he needed Everest's help to stick the landing. And Jin also jumped, reluctantly out of duty, but he leaped nonetheless and stuck the landing. Indeed, stuck. And all Yi can do is smile in wonder. Well, that boat pulls into a rural port where they all climb into big wooden boxes and are transported into the wilderness. Jin just keeps bemoaning how terrible the situation is and strategizing how to save everyone and go back to life as they knew it, while all Yi can do is gaze out at this unknown place, repeating, "I can't believe how beautiful it is out here." But Jin and Pang can't believe how hungry they are out here. So they all get to see what Everest can do out here. Have you guessed yet who Everest represents in this story? Yeah, Jesus. The one who multiplied a few fish and loaves like these blueberries to feed thousands of hungry people. He's the one we've heard about in stories, but don't really expect him to show up. The one we believe loves us and is with us, yet the one we rarely think to look for when we're feeling most unloved and alone. The one who knows our deepest longings because he's the source of our deepest longings, and he's the only one who can satisfy them. The one who left his eternal home to be with us in our broken world so he could show us the way through all the loss and pain, all the blame and shame, all the separation and isolation. Show the way through all the dying and death to our true home, to the God who's waiting with open arms for the return of all of his children, like the prodigal father in Jesus' parable. And it's so wonderful the way Everest glows as he's about to do something amazing, like Jesus glowing brighter than the sun as he was transfigured before his friends. Ping responds in childlike wonder. He just keeps saying, this is impossible, this is impossible. And he's always trying to explain it away as some unusual natural phenomenon. And Yi is simply falling more and more in love with Everest with every step they take. The adventure takes them through the Yellow Mountains where they learn how to wish on dandelions. In other words, they learn how to pray for things that seem impossible. Like Peng becoming a basketball superstar. But they're still being pursued by the dark forces that want to take Everest into captivity again. So Peng wishes there was a way out. And Everest does some more miraculous Jesus things, making a giant dandelion that floats them all away, except for Jin. At first, he's fooled by evil scientist Dr. Zara and her boss, Mr. Burnish. But he, too, soon sees that appearances can be deceiving. Things are not always what they seem. And he sets off on his own adventure of faith to face his own fear and pain. Yay for Jin! Like all of us on the great adventure home, he had to spend some time alone. He had to feel what it's like to be hemmed in and afraid, unable to do anything except keep going, taking his own unique path. And you know, for someone who prided himself on planning the most efficient path to get anywhere, Jin definitely took the long way. Yet this was the narrow path that he needed to walk to learn the deeper reality that Tolkien wrote about. All that is gold does not glitter. Not all those who wander are lost. The old that is strong does not wither. Deep roots are not reached by the frost. See, on the journey of grief, we often feel lost. We fear the dark, especially the darkness within. And again, this is not the darkness of evil where we should not go. What we're talking about is the darkness of grace where we must courageously choose to go. To those dark places where we've hidden our pain, the dark places in which old things that have fulfilled their purposes need to fall apart and die so they can mysteriously be transformed to live again. This is the darkness of a caterpillar's cocoon, the darkness of Jesus' tomb, the darkness where death is swallowed up in new life. Not only at the end of our physical lives can we finally get this. It's not only at the end of our physical lives, but it's in every dying in this world as well. We must go into that darkness because, Tolkien, he continues, because from the ashes a fire shall be woken. A light from the shadow shall spring. Renewed shall be blade that was broken. The crownless again shall be king. And no one can do this for us. We each have our own journey. Like Jin, we need to spend our own day and night in the belly of the whale like Jonah. Because, you know, poet David White gets this. When your eyes are tired, the world is tired also. When your vision has gone, no part of the world can find you. Time to go into the dark where the night has eyes to recognize its own. There you can be sure you are not beyond love. The dark will be your home tonight. The night will give you a horizon further than you can see. You must learn one thing. The world was made to be free in. The world was made to be free in. Give up all other worlds except the one to which you belong. Sometimes it takes darkness and the sweet confinement of your aloneness to learn that anything or anyone that does not bring you alive is too small for you. Jin, Yi, and Pang, they're all being transformed on this journey of healing with Everest. They're coming to know this new world to which they belong, this kingdom of God. They refuse to be caged. So refuse to live a life that's too small. See, they're no longer afraid of the dark. Their eyes are adjusting to see themselves in new ways. But the transformation will not be complete until they're also able to see each other in new ways with new eyes. So Everest does a few more Jesus things, like walking on water and moving mountains. It's amazing, isn't it? Beautiful. But Pang and Jin, in the midst of this movement of grace, they want more. See, they're still tempted by their old patterns. Make it go faster, be more spectacular, come on, do it. And you know, sometimes that's like the powerful waves of loss, the waves of grief that can rise up with a fury, even years into our grief journey. And then they all crash down to earth, and we crash with them. And Yi experiences yet another hard, necessary loss as everything comes crashing down again. Her violin is shattered. Sometimes it takes the crashing, doesn't it? Takes us losing the things we're so attached to in order to go down deeper into healing. You know, so far in this story, Everest Jesus has become the way, but along that way, he's also the truth. That's what's happening here between these two friends, and what happens for us, the transformation of our grief requires us to come out of hiding. It requires us to feel and to face the whole truth of our loss and to stop making excuses for ourselves and to have compassion on ourselves instead. It requires us to stop blaming and taking it out on others and actually listen to them. It requires us to forgive and be forgiven, so we can finally take off those fig leaf garments of self-reliance and self-protection and stand unashamed in our weakness before God, ourselves, each other. Finally, maybe able to receive the love and comfort that only Christ can give. How do you know when your grief is transformed? When you're no longer desperately clinging to mementos and memories from the past in order to survive the present moment. When you can think of what you lost, of who you lost, with less and less pain and more gratitude. When even your tears are transformed. The Christian desert tradition of the 5th and 6th centuries knew something about this transformation. And their wisdom about the process can be captured in three words. Look. Healing grief work starts when we're willing to look at ourselves and our world and keep looking until we see it for what it is in all of its brokenness, loss, and pain, in all of its hatred and blame and shame, all of its separation, hypocrisy, and despair. And we keep looking, and when we think we can't keep looking one moment longer, you know, our hearts finally break open. And we weep. And we keep on weeping. We lament over it all, painfully longing for it somehow to be different, although we know it seems impossible. But as we keep weeping and we stay open and we continue to grieve gradually, we notice that our tears begin to change. The more pain and loss we release in our tears, the more the tears wash our eyes clean and transform our vision to see not only the inevitability of death, but also the reality that in Christ, death is never the end. Because Jesus is not only the way and the truth, he is also the life. How do you know when your grief is transformed? When you look at loss and death long enough that you begin to weep, and then you weep long enough that your tears change from bitter mourning to grateful hope. And then you're finally ready to truly live. Look, weep, live. Knowing that real life is full of loss and pain. There is no way to escape from it. When you try to hide, it comes and finds you. But it also overflows with grace and wonder and hope and friendship and family and beauty that can only be seen through a heart and eyes transformed by love. What a moment it is when we, like ye, are finally able to experience the deep desire to be fully alive in this incredible God-created world, to be freed from our fears in order to freely follow Jesus in this risky, glorious adventure of faith, refusing to be anyone other than who God created us to be, refusing to do anything other than what God called and gifted us to do. Trusting with every step that even when pain and loss happen, and guess what? They will. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trials and tribulations, and guess what? No politician can fix that. Even when loss and pain happen, we are safe in a love relationship with the one who came to proclaim good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Let's watch as Everest brings ye to the place her earthly father most wanted her to visit. The place where she and we must come to surrender it all in love to the heavenly father that Jesus wants us all to see and know. It all comes together here, doesn't it? Ye's tears are now tears that honor the losses of what's most precious to her, but at the same time also honor her longing for the comfort of home and the beautiful new life that's springing forth. And as she cries, raindrops fall. See, God weeps with us in our losses. Even as he is in the process of turning our mourning into dancing, our night into day, and makes the desert places bloom. See, we tend to think that Jesus calls us into things he's doing for his sake, for the Trinity's sake. And yet God created all of this and all of us for one reason. So we would all have others to love who would choose to love us back. So God would have someone to love who chooses to love him back. Jesus' greatest desire is that we would want to be reconnected with him, with the Father, and with the Spirit, so we could share in this great eternal love. See, not only for his sake, but for ours, and for the sake of the whole world, so that Eden might be restored forever. Not only in heaven one day, but here and now on earth as it is in heaven. We have eyes to see, ears to hear. But we can't do this in our own strength, no. But we can do it in his. See, whoever believes, Jesus says, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they'll do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. See, Yi is amazed that Everest's power flowed through her as she used her gift. But we can be even more amazed. After all, this movie is fictional. But for those of us who are in Christ, this is fact. If we'll trust him with our most terrible pain, guess what? We'll also get to experience the wonder, the beauty, the joy that this life is beautiful beyond words. Isn't that beautiful? It's a picture of what's true. In Christ, the garden's restored. In Christ, the tree of life is glowing again. And we get to eat from it. And we get to enjoy being together there in this glorious new kingdom that's open to us. It's beautiful. See, even though, as they say, even though we can't always see the stars, right? We know they're still there, even though we don't see a glowing tree. We know we're there. Even though we might not be able to see any light in this great time of loss when hundreds of thousands are dying from an invisible virus. Even though we might be feeling caged in so many ways, aching in the loss of treasured ways of doing church and school, family, holidays, elections, and so much more together. Even so, the light of the world is still here, both in Jesus and in us. And yes, that reality is very cool indeed. The journey's not complete yet, though, for Everest and company, or for us. In the movie, just as they are nearly across the bridge that takes Everest home to his family, the forces of death converge, and there's no escape. So Everest goes to the top of the bridge and summons lightning and wind to protect his friends, but to no avail. Everest is shot full of tranquilizer darts and falls onto the bridge. Yi's thrown off the bridge and is hanging there by a single rope. Everest is chained hands and feet and dragged and locked in a cage in the back of a truck. The boys are locked in a car, and it appears that the forces of death have won. Until Yi remembers that there's always light in the darkness. There's always hope in the midst of despair. And she offers her gift in faith, now knowing in the depths of her being that nothing is impossible. It's a beautiful picture of resurrection, isn't it? Well, Mr. Burnish witnessed love like he'd never seen before. The love that he saw in Everest breaks his heart open, and his own fear and his own grief begin to be transformed. He gives the kids coats to keep them warm on the final leg of Everest's journey home. You know, it's not over. Something's moved deep inside us as we watch this, isn't it? Because deep inside, we're all longing for home. For that place of ultimate peace and security and love, we're all longing for that place where we don't have to fight and strive incessantly just to survive. Where we can feel something other than fear and loss, where our soul can find rest and we can thrive. Deep inside, aren't all of us just dying to be home? And here's the good news. Our Creator placed that longing within us, knowing that ultimately that longing would lead us home, not to a place, but to a person, to Jesus, this one who's come to be with us, the one who knows the way home because he is our home. Jesus is the true home that our hearts are longing for. He says, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I'll give you rest. Come home to Jesus, even if you've known him for a very, very long time. You might not feel at home with him. Come home to Jesus. Take the leap of faith, whatever that next leap for you may be. Lay your burdens down. Show him the place that you hide your deepest grief and fear. Show it to him and let him lead you through it, through his cross, into the resurrection. It doesn't mean you'll never suffer again. Of course you will, but you won't suffer alone. And although nothing can replace what you've lost, in time the empty places can be filled with joy and gratitude for all you do have. Not only one day, not only in here in relationship with Jesus and me, but here and out there. Mr. Burnish, Jesus is calling us home to him. He wants to make us his home so we can all finally enjoy the life God intended us to live before we ever were. And then join him in the grand adventure of reconciling all people and all things together as one in Christ, so God may be all and in all. See, at the start, Abominable appeared to be a story about Everest, Yi, Jin, and Pang. But in the end, it turned out to be a story about all of us. And some of the lyrics of the song that plays as the credits roll at the end of the movie. Those words are the anthem of everyone who's ever chosen to trust Jesus through it all. And as we close this morning, let's pray that one day we'll all get to hear this song, God's song, being sung in every human heart. I was lost, but you found me, hiding in the shadows from my destiny. And you saw things no one else could see. You saved me when I was my worst enemy. Feels so good to be alive. What a beautiful life. I heard your heart call mine, and then all the stars aligned, spread through me like a wild flame. I feel it in my veins. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. Cheers to the thing money can't buy. Can't buy what I feel inside. This thing I can't deny. Our pretty little paradise. What a beautiful life. What a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful life. Amen. So grateful to be living this beautiful life with all of you. And I know that God's been preparing us on our journey home to go out and to help to bring more and more restoration of that beautiful, pretty little paradise right here and now. Amen? Amen. Let's live it.